I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinker out there. And today, from 10 to 11 o'clock, a great space for anybody who wants to take control of their health. Next hour, we will do Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. We're hearing a lot of headlines about a big shortage in baby formula here in the United States. Maybe that's a good thing. I've got some news on baby formula that if you've got newborns, if you are expecting, if you've got a child who is expecting, maybe you're a grandparent, there are some things maybe you should know about baby formula. See, I'm a glass half full guy. Maybe a baby formula shortage will save a generation. We'll talk about that. I've also got some interesting headlines. Actually, I had several headlines that just show you that food can tackle a whole host of different conditions and diseases, and also a clip about how to beat those carb cravings and something about nutritional yeast. I hope I got time to get everything today. I ended up with a ton of stuff. I didn't have anything planned for the show last night by about 11:15. I'll admit to a tiny bit of a panic attack, realizing I ended up working late last night, which I don't normally do on a Tuesday night for that reason, but somehow I think I've over-prepared by the time we get to the show today, so we'll see. Also for today, for the first hour, look, I'm going to do a good chunk of left bashing today, and even maybe give a slight compliment to a Republican. So call all your friends who abandoned my show because I was critical of Trump and the Republican Party, and let them know that maybe today I'm going to give you some of the stuff you want to hear, which will be a nice change. We got some good news here. I look at financial markets. I believe we are witnessing something profound happening to our country right now. I could be wrong. But there was good news today. The U.S. annual inflation rate slowed to just 8.3%. The consumer price index shows after hitting a 40-year high last month. Now, shadow stats, if you want to compare apples to apples, the inflation rate now to the 1980s, shadow stats does that. They use the same method of calculating inflation. They changed it in the 1990s. When they realized that inflation was kind of going to be chronically high and probably make people a little grumpy, they decided to hide it from us. So they changed the way they calculated inflation. But if you want to do an apples-to-apples comparison of today to the 1980s, calculating it the same way, Shadow Stats and John Williams, the economist over there, has inflation, if it was measured the same way as it was in 1980, at around 17%. Boy, that's a nifty little trick they did, didn't they? They figured out a way to calculate inflation where it's only really half of what it actually is, and they've gotten away with it for a couple of decades now. You feel it, but it's just a way of masking it. Just tell people. Don't believe your lying eyes. If there's anything we know now, we're not supposed to believe our lying eyes. We're supposed to wait for them to tell us what the truth is, and they tell us that it's only 8.3%, but that is a retracement from the 8.5%. But perhaps the most worrying for the average Joe, quote, real wages. This means wages that are actually adjusted for inflation. Real wages fell for the 13th straight month. And here's the comical part to that. Your nominal wages, meaning the amount that you're actually earning, right? The stated amount. We hired you at $50,000. Next year, we're going to pay you $53,000. You had a nominal raise of $3,000 a year. Let's make it easy. Let's say you've got a $50,000 a year salary, and they tell you that you're going to get a 10% raise, so you're going to be making $55,000. That's a nominal 10% raise. But if you take out taxes and inflation and things like that, you could be actually earning less money in terms of purchasing power. That would be your real wages. So real wages have fallen for the 13th straight month. But the comical part about it is that your taxes go up too. This is why governments love inflation. This is why you hear the Federal Reserve tell you that really what they want to see is 2% inflation every year. They tell you that inflation is a good thing. They tell you that deflation, the lowering of prices, in some bizarro world Jedi mind trick, our government economists and the Federal Reserve tell you that when prices fall, that's a bad thing. Now, I don't know about you. I like to see lower prices. But the government does this Jedi mind trick on you because they know as your wages go up, as prices go up, that means the cost of things goes up, which means that more money is circulating and they get a little piece of every dollar that circulates. They love that inflation. Matt Maley, the chief market strategist for Miller and Tabak and Company, says, very simply, this high inflation number has dimmed the hopes for many investors considerably that we've reached peak inflation. Therefore, the Fed will remain hawkish, and it just might put a 75 basis point hike back on the table. This is the concern of Wall Street. Inflation is, at their own figures, 8.3%. We are at 0.75% interest rates. They may do another 0.75%. You understand, to actually tame this inflation, the Fed funds rate needs to be above the 8.3%. We're barely going to get to 1.5% maybe next month. Maybe we'll be at 1.5%. Inflation is 8. We're just what, 7% behind the curve here. Inflation is going to keep on going. Now, what does this mean? Does it mean that when you hear inflation is slowing, this is going to be a big headline today? Look, we've reached peak inflation. The inflation rate is coming down. They're going to be celebrating this. I'm just going to go ahead and warn you. What does that mean? Does it mean that prices are going to start coming down? Because I would imagine if you polled Americans and you heard inflation is coming down, what does that mean? Well, prices are going to go back to normal. That's what they're going to think. Because we're economically illiterate in this country. Gas may move around. There may be a few things that actually come down, but the cost of living is baked into the cake now. If something cost $100 a year ago, and then a year later it's up 10%, it cost $110. That was a 10% inflation. If the next year the inflation rate falls to 8%, what does it cost then? It cost $118.80. So over those 2 years, it's gone from $100 to $118.80. You've heard of the miracle of compounding interest when it comes to your savings? Set your money aside. You'll earn interest, and the next year you'll earn interest on that interest. And the year after that, interest on the interest that you had in the original interest. Well, compounding inflation works in the opposite effect when it comes to inflation. And so while the rate may drop a little bit, and we'd love to see it drop a lot, I know, the prices that we have right now are baked into the cake. I ran across a Market Watch. I want you to listen to this Market Watch. This is just one of the sites I've got bookmarked just to check and see where the markets are. They were down this morning. But I ran across this column. They've got an opinion column by, what's this guy's name? Michael something. Michael Brush. He is an economist at Market Watch. I want you to listen to what he has to say. He may be right and I may be wrong, but I don't know how the hell he gets to this conclusion. Here is an opinion piece by Michael Brush. Keep calm. There is no recession on the way. These 13 stocks may rise as investors figure this out. And here's his thinking. Here's his thinking for why we're not going to see a recession in this country as he goes to one of the most popular financial websites and tells you to get out there and buy stocks. There is no recession coming. He says the economy is strong as consumers and businesses are in good shape. Number one, the economy is strong. That 1.4 first quarter GDP contraction is pretty misleading, he says. It was caused by a drop in federal spending and a big increase in the trade deficit. Well, yeah, those things matter. I guess he believes that maybe if we just increase government spending, that would somehow be good for the economy. The funny little thing is that increased government spending is what creates inflation. Two more meaningful measures show decent economic strength, says Ed Yardini of Yardini Research. He cites the 3.7% increase in final sales to private domestic buyers. Well, of course there's a 3.7% increase in sales to people. Prices are up by about 17% across the board. If you sell 10 products 1 year at $100, and there's a 10% inflationary event, and each one of those things cost $110 now, then instead of having $1,000 in sales, you're going to have $1,100 in sales. Sales are up. It is the inflation that is causing these increases in spending. His second point, the yield curve is not predicting a recession. The yield curve does typically invert before a recession. Not all the time. Sometimes it inverts and there is no recession because the Fed starts monkeying around with the yield curve and money printing. But it has been a recessionary warning sign, and it did invert just a couple of weeks ago, briefly, not for an extended period of time, but it did invert. Here's what he says, too. Companies are guiding up, not down. Companies are the economy. This is the Michael Brush, the commentator, the opinion, the economist for MarketWatch. He says, top managers continue to expect growth. We know this because they are guiding futures earnings higher. Second quarter earnings guidance is slightly above the long-term trend. That says Credit Suisse. The funny thing was, on this same page on MarketWatch, here are some of their headlines. Wynn Resorts, this is the big casino thing. What's the guy's name? Steve Wynn. Steve Wynn did the Mirage and a bunch of swanky places out in Vegas. Wynn Resort's stock price target cut to $92 from $123 at Deutsche Bank. So that's interesting for this rosy picture of the economy. They're cutting Wynn Resort's target price on their stock to $92 from $123. That's about a 25% haircut there. The high on Wynn Resorts was $151 within the last 3 years. It's now trading at $66. Here's another headline there. The Peloton stock price target cut from cut to $34 from $51 at Deutsche Bank. That's interesting. This guy is telling you that the economy's doing great. They're expecting record earnings at all of these companies. That's why you should continue to invest in the market. Yet their own website is showing you all of these target cuts. So they've cut Peloton's stock price target to $34 from $51. That's about another, 30-something percent? This is, again, at Deutsche Bank. Here's the kicker on Peloton stock. The high within the last 3 years was $162 a share. Now it's trading at $13. It's gone from $162 a share to $13 a share. This same headline underneath it, Mesa Air stock price target cut to $3 from $5.50 at Deutsche Bank. So that's about a what? It's about a 45% cut to what they're expecting out of the Mesa Air stock price. Here's the kicker. The high on Mesa Air within the last 3 years, I just pulled up three-year charts, the high was $15.25 a share. Now it's at $2.68 a share. This guy, this Michael Brush, goes on in his opinion piece on MarketWatch to say the household sector is strong. This guy's an economist. He says, typically, economies are vulnerable to recessions when households borrow too much money, then get into trouble because they cannot pay it back. That's not the case now. That's what Michael Brush says. I'm going to refer you to a story that I read on Monday. Here it is. Oh, he continues. Here it is. People socked away a lot of money during the pandemic, so households had a surplus worth 3.6% of GDP in late 2021. This is from the STEMIs, you remember this? Compared to the average of 2.78 over 1985 to 2019, note Goldman Sachs economist. The household sector is on particularly strong footing, says Goldman economist Jan Hadzis. Soft landings are more common when private sector financial balances are healthy. So they're telling you the consumer is strong. Now here's the story I got to on Monday. The March consumer credit report from the Federal Reserve was an absolute shocker and confirmed what we have been saying for months. Any excess savings accumulated by the middle class are long gone, and in their place, Americans have unleashed a credit card-fueled spending spree. Here are the shocking numbers. In March, 1 month after the February print already came in more than double the $18 billion expected, consumer credit exploded to an absolutely blowout $52.435 billion. More than double the expected $25 billion, and the highest on record, the highest new accumulation of consumer debt ever recorded. This is market watching Goldman Sachs telling you the consumer is strong. There's no recession in sight, but the statistics are that we're taking on more debt at the consumer level. And this was mostly in credit card debt. The real stunner was revolving or credit card debt, which was more than doubled from the already elevated February print of $14.2 billion and was a stunning $31.4 billion, again, the highest print on record. Now, I'm not really sure what happens. I am a terrible market timer. I know insanity when I see it, and we've been insane for quite a while. So I don't know, you know, I know they have duct taped and paper clipped this thing together with endless money printing, but the game is over with inflation. People are noticing. They're not happy about what they're paying for things. So we'll see. They may be able to jimmy around with second quarter GDP and give us a positive number because they understate inflation during the period. But how in the hell is this guy seeing a strong economy right now? It's really bizarre. It's almost like 330 million Americans accepting things like school closures, church closures, business closures, mask wearing, plastic partitions, wiping down your Doritos bag, and an experimental shot in response to a disease that's 99.9% survivable for everybody under 70 years old. It just makes no sense. We'll be right back. I don't make much of a secret of the fact I'm a kind of an accelerationist when it comes to an economic crisis. We need to have it because it's us, the working people of today, particularly people over 40 years old, 45 years old, certainly people over 50, 60, 70 years old. This is our problem. We created this. We allowed it to happen. And it's not fair to leave this mess to future generations because the longer this goes on, the worse it's going to be. We could have had a much more severe financial crisis in 2008, 2009, but we would have come back on some sound footing. Instead, we just printed a ton of money, which just makes it worse. It's why you see the inflation now, because of Obama, Trump, and Biden spending. So I believe we need to have an economic crisis. A lot of the excess debt needs to be wrung out of the system so we can come back to some level of sanity, a stronger foundation. Here's my fear now, though. This has the potential of being so bad that this is when governments take you to war, and we are seemingly stumbling, bumbling, and mumbling at the White House into World War III right now. This is what your government is. If you are married and maybe you have got a significant gambling problem and you're having an affair, if your wife or your husband is just about to discover this, you might burn the house down, right? As a big distraction. I mean, it's really, really bad. You know, you'll lose all your stuff, but it would just, you know, kind of take them off the scent, create something else really bad to happen so that maybe, you know, the fact that you've bankrupted the family gambling and are having this extramarital affair, maybe you buy a little bit of a time on that. And then you just blame all your hardship on that time you lost the house. But here's your government. Your government will burn that house down with the kids inside. Because, you know, if you just burn the house down, you've got insurance, people rebuild, they hug each other. Well, at least we're all okay. Your government wants to make it as big a tragedy as possible so you really don't notice. Rather than the spouse just admitting, hey, I need to talk to you. I got a gambling problem. I've spent a bunch of our money you didn't know about, and I've been seeing somebody else. Whatever happens, happens, but I needed to be honest with you. We need to, you know, try to rebuild. Instead of being honest with you, the spouse burns the house down. The government, he burns the house down with the kids inside. See, your government will take you to World War III and risk millions and millions of lives rather than admit that they've been looting the system for forever, rather than let go of the tiniest amount of their power. Because people should be in the streets with torches and pitchforks at this point. And so it makes me extremely nervous that at this particularly fragile time, with what I see coming, and it could come tomorrow, it could come in 10 years, I don't know, but it sure feels close. Instead of admitting that they have made this bed they are forcing us to lie in, they'll take us to World War III. Inflation is caused by massive government spending and Fed money printing, period. It's not Joe Biden. It's not Putin. It's not even supply chain disruptions, although that can cause individual little price spikes here and there. It is money printing and out-of-control government spending. Biden is out of control with spending the same way Trump was out of control with spending, particularly in his last year. I know I'm supposed to ignore that, pretend it didn't happen, and blame it all on Joe Biden. That's just not the case. But here's a fun little statistic on government spending, which creates inflation. And understand, government spending, see, they don't have that money. I mean, they steal a bunch from you, but it's still not enough. They want to spend even more. They got a lot of favors they need to pass out. They got a lot of donors they need to please. So what they steal from you is just not enough. So they get the Fed to print up more money for them to spend. That's how government spending creates this inflation. Listen to this fun little statistic. The total spent by the U.S. on the Russia-Ukraine war in less than 3 months is close to Russia's total military budget for the entire year. And I've made a great point of this year after year after year as I sat by and watched conservatives cheer for Donald Trump's huge military budgets and huge military budgets during Barack Obama and George W. Bush because they all serve the defense industry. And so I have really kind of picked on conservatives and challenged your cheering for this idea of, air quotes here in the studio, rebuilding the military. Somehow during the 2000s, you know, the $15 trillion we gave them wasn't enough, so Trump had to come in and goose it a little bit to, air quotes again, rebuild. But I've made this point quite often that we've been painting Russia as this big threat to the world. Russia spends about 8% of what we spend on an annual basis in military spending. How could Russia be this big threat? We spend $700 billion. Russia spends about $70 billion. And this is year after year after year. So each year we eclipse them by around $600 billion a year, year after year after year after year. Yet we're told we need to be really on guard for this Russia. They could just ransack the whole of Europe. That's very interesting. They must be very efficient. If they can somehow conquer all of Europe on $60 billion a year, we can't win in Iraq or Afghanistan on $700 billion a year. I don't know. I think maybe we should be a little scared of the Russians, or at least we should hire some of their efficiency experts. In 3 months, we have spent the equivalent of Russia's entire military budget for their entire country. And their country spans, what, 7 or 8 time zones? I don't know if you've seen a map. Russia, big country. But as gargantuan, here's the story, too. Just to show you why I spend a lot of time on this show going after both parties. But as gargantuan, as Biden's already spent and newly requested sums are for a 10-week war in which the U.S. claims not to be a belligerent. It is very interesting. We've spent the equivalent of Russia's entire military budget in just 10 weeks, and we sit back and go, we're not in this war. We're not one of the parties of the. We don't have any boots on the ground. Yet somehow we've spent Russia's entire military budget in 10 weeks. It was apparently woefully inadequate. Let me start this over again so you really get the full impact of this. But as gargantuan as Biden's already spent and newly requested sums are for a 10-week war in which the U.S. claims not to be a belligerent, it was apparently woefully inadequate in the eyes of the bipartisan establishment in Congress, who is ostensibly elected to serve the needs and interests of the American citizens, not Ukrainians. Leaders of both parties instantly decreed that Biden's $35 billion request was not enough. They thus raised it to $40 billion, a more than 20% increase over the White House request, and are now working together, hand in hand, Republicans and Democrats. Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi. Marco Rubio and AOC. Now working together to create an accelerated procedure to ensure immediate passage and disbursement of these weapons and funds to the war zone in Ukraine. And here's the kicker. Here's the fun one. Top U.S. defense officials will meet with the chief executives of the eight largest U.S. defense contractors to discuss industry's capacity to meet Ukraine's weapons needs if the war with Russia continues for years. Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen Hicks told reporters Tuesday she plans to participate in a classified roundtable with defense CEOs on Wednesday to discuss, quote, what can we do to help them? What do they need to generate supply? Quote, we will discuss industry proposals to accelerate production of existing systems and develop new modernized capabilities critical to the department's ongoing security assistance to Ukraine and long-term readiness of U.S. and ally partner forces, the officials added. Classified meeting with the heads of the big defense contractors to see what the government can do to help them along the way. You know what this is? This is Operation Warp Speed for the defense industry. What Donald Trump did for Big Pharma, now both parties are going to be doing for the defense contractors. A lot of taxpayer dollars will be sloshed around in this. No cost too much. No contract too high with the defense industry to make sure that we equip Ukraine, the Nazi regime in Ukraine, with all the money they need for defense. All they've got to do is print it up, causing more inflation for you, or just take it straight out of your pocket and send it to Ukraine. There's your two-party system. Still questions about why I'm a libertarian? I'll be right back. What's the frequency? Can it be sharp and so drained? All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I promised some red meat radio. I was going to bash some people on the left and compliment a Republican, so I'm about to do that here. This other stuff is concerning to me. I just wonder if there's anything the American people won't put up with. I guess maybe taking the guns. You know, I wonder at this point. I really do wonder at this point if there would really be wholesale resistance to that. I know everybody says they would, but you know, look at what we've acquiesced to. Look at the fact that they steal a third of your income every year for decades and decades. Nobody had done a thing. Why do you keep a gun? A lot of people keep a gun so you don't get attacked and robbed. yet we're robbed every day. Take a look at your paycheck on Friday. All right. The disinformation czar, this freak of a woman that they've got at this new Politburo. I guess it's the Pravda. Well, I'm forgetting my Soviet terms. I should remember them. They're all rolling out on us right now. She has got a new plan. She's going to hit the ground running here. Does she have to be confirmed? Are we still waiting on a confirmation? She's trotting around right now, getting a ton of press as this new disinformation czar. But she's got an idea, and I'm looking at this. This is a Zoom call with, looks like it's got nine panels here. So it's a whole board. There's one soy boy. He does have a beard. He has been able to grow a better beard than I can grow, but it's some soy man. He is nodding in the affirmative to everything you're about to hear from this disinformation czar. I forget her name. I don't care. But there's one woman on this Zoom call, dead center of the nine panels. You know, imagine a kind of a Brady Bunch montage here. She's on a Zoom call in a mask. So that says it all. This is your new disinformation czar with a great idea she's got to combat disinformation. I don't even know. What is the difference between misinformation and disinformation? Is there a difference without a distinction? A distinction without a difference? I don't know. Anyway.
And I am eligible for it because I'm verified, but there are a lot of people who shouldn't be verified who aren't, you know, legit, in my opinion. I mean, they are real people.
She's talking about Twitter. She's a blue check mark. She's been verified. She, as the new overlord of all information, believes some people that have been verified shouldn't have been verified. I mean, they may be real human beings, but, you know, what they have to say is worthless. She'll make that distinction. But she's got some ideas for Twitter.
But they're not trustworthy. Anyway, so verified people can essentially start to edit Twitter the same sort of way that Wikipedia is. So they can add context to certain tweets. So just as a easy example, not from any political standpoint, if President Trump were still on Twitter and tweeted a claim about voter fraud, someone could add context from one of the 60 lawsuits that went through the court, or something that an election official in one of the states said, perhaps your own Secretary of State and his news conferences, something like that. Adding context so that people have a fuller picture rather than just an individual claim on a tweet.
So she wants to allow blue checkmark Twitterers, Twittist, tweets, twerps, to go in and just add context to anybody's tweet at any time. All you got to do is just get all the blue check marks to be on one side of the ideological spectrum. I guess the warning labels on tweets is not enough for her. I think you should be able to actually go in there and alter their tweets and kind of debunk them live time. Now, I've never wanted Elon Musk to buy Twitter more than this, because I would hope that he would resist this. Again, I'm suspicious of the whole Elon Musk thing. I'm beginning to wonder if he's even going to be able to pull it off with what the monkey hammering that the stock market's been taking. Tesla has been down substantially, too, and those shares are what he's got pledged for some of the financing for his purchase of Twitter. But I would like to think that Elon Musk would not be down with this nut job's idea of adding context to people's tweets by the verified people. I mean, this is just, you know, the fact that the left, the champions of civil liberties and free speech for a long, long time, they really were even better on free speech and civil liberties than Republicans and the right was in many ways. For years and years and years, that has just not been the case over the last 5 to 10 years, particularly the last 2 to 3. But anyway, this nut job has got that harebrained idea. But on the good side of things, I saw a story. Let me pull up the headline real quick here. I was just curious, you know, we've all got a home state. We're all curious to know what our home state's up to. These 20 states threaten legal action over Biden's Ministry of Truth. Attorneys general of 20 states have threatened legal action against the U.S. government unless they disband the newly formed Disinformation Governments Board. It was interesting. I didn't really put it together when it first happened. You know, everything the government does has got to be a three-letter agency, right? This makes us the DGB. I mean, we're just a couple of letters away from KGB in this country to make the flip-flop transition, the polar shift from the Soviet Union, the Communist Empire, to the Communist Empire of the United States. We're just a few letters away with the rolling out of the DGB, the Disinformation Governance Board. But I was happy to see that Lynn Fitch, our Attorney General, has signed on to this letter to challenge this DGB. And so we'll see if anything comes of that. Now, this may be and probably is mostly a political move, but death to this Disinformation Governance Board by any means possible is to be preferred. So if politics plays away, I mean, there certainly is a lot of cover. There's 20 attorneys general challenging this thing. It's quite obviously something that should be challenged. And so I applaud Lynn Fitch for at least being one of the 20. That means there are some red state attorneys general that have not joined onto this thing. At least she had the foresight to go after this board. So hopefully this is not a long-lasting institution. We will soon see. But what I would say to Lynn Fitch in my libertarian mind is, if you want to stop the propaganda police state, don't stop here. If you really want to stop this Orwellian adventure and our 1984 future. So I saw a meme the other day where it's a picture of George Orwell and he's reading the book called 2022 and he goes, "Holy crap." Oh, memes keep me alive, keep me smiling. But if Lynn Fitch really wants to stop this transition to this Orwellian future that we have embarked on. How about signing a letter, too, with those other attorneys general to disband the NSA that is still, as of this moment, still snooping and spying on us? This is part of my what will Americans not put up with? All you conservative Americans who understand now the power of the government against you as they persecute and prosecute January 6th people for walking through the Capitol and snapping a few pictures, you're still being spied on by your own government. And some of the people that told you about this are exiled. I mean, that's the funniest thing, too, is in this just bizarre, ironic twist from the Soviet Union that we faced off with, that communist empire that had Pravda and propaganda that we could all easily recognize. Now we actually have somebody who comes out and tells us the truth that our government is spying on us, and he has to exile himself where? In Russia. The guy that exposed the state surveillance apparatus has had to flee to the former Soviet Union for safety out of the United States. So if Lynn Fitch really wants to start freeing people from things like this DGB, Disinformation Board, she should also challenge the NSA. How about the IRS that monitors all of your financial activity? And can, one morning you wake up, you could be completely broke. They can just reach in and take all your stuff. She could close down the TSA. She should challenge, join a list of attorneys general that has the TSA that is molesting small children and grandparents at airlines, causing three-hour waits. You got to wait for your groping. It's like a ride. It's like the some kind of a molestation ride at Disneyland. You got to wait in line for 3 hours for the privilege of either being scatter scanned by some radioactive device, or have your no-no parts fondled by a TSA agent. They do wear gloves, so they're showing proper respect for the cattle. But she could do something about the TSA and maybe the FBI. I think we've finally determined, after years and years of libertarian screaming about that we don't need a national police force. Conservatives resisted that for years and years and years. They thought that Robert Mueller was a great patriot back during the Bush years, as he, air quotes here in the studio, investigated 9/11. And now you're finding out that that organization also at the very top in particular is massively corrupt and is just basically a state Stasi. So Lynn Fitch, congratulations for joining the attorneys general in their suit against this DGB, the Disinformation Governance Board. But there's more work to do if you really want to spare us an Orwellian future. I'll be right back. You try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. All right, next hour, Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I hear there's a big baby formula shortage going on right now. Well, that may be a good thing for moms and expectant moms around the country. As panicked as you are right now, I'm a baby bottle half full guy. There is an upside to that. We're going to take a look at baby formulas here in the United States and then along with some other things. But I think it's a smooth transition in the couple of minutes I got left in this hour into my nutrition segment. I had to see if this was satire. I thought I was getting tricked, hoodwinked by Zero Hedge when I ran across this headline. The headline is Taco Bell Goes Woke Launches Drag Brunch Event at U.S. Locations. I kept looking where it was, the Onion or the Babylon Bee. It did not appear to me. Taco Bell is the latest company to embrace woke activism by rolling out Taco Bell Drag Brunch at select Taco Bell cantinas around the U.S. Quote, each show will be hosted by the fabulous drag performer and taco extraordinaire, Kay Sadia. Oh, that's funny. And feature performances from local queens and kings that will transform any morning from mild to fire, according to a recent press release from the largest fast food Tex-Mex restaurant chain. As a brand that brings people together, the Taco Bell Drag Brunch experience is rooted in celebrating the LGBTQIA+ community and creating safe and welcoming spaces for all. They've got some videos on this stuff, and it is just part of Bizarro World. Can't play them. They're not great for audio. But I thought this is a hell of a thing. Taco Bell is going to peddle their chemical-laced foods to a supposedly marginalized group. I talk about adding insult to injury. you know, that these people may have some mental problems as it stands right now, and introducing some of these chemicals. And I'm telling you, some of this gender stuff, it's food and chemical based. I know people want to say this is the culture war and you think you're just going to change a bunch of minds. You don't change the nutrition of your children, you're going to see more of this stuff. You're talking about baby formula. There are endocrine disruptors in there that cause gender problems in children. You're loading your babies up, your little male babies that you've got all these hopes and dreams of being a football star, a basketball star, an athlete, or big macho man, bow hunter, and you're loading them up with soy, which is an estrogen mimicker. So Taco Bell, just coming full circle, being a part of creating a mentally depraved society through the chemicals in their food, and now they're going to celebrate it with drag brunches. As I say, I thought this was satire. Everything's satire now. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we embark on Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use, where I try to convince people, take control of your nutrition, give your body what it needs to heal itself, and you will not need the expensive, time-consuming, and disease-causing medical establishment that we have here in the United States. Too harsh? I don't think so. I'll start off every show by explaining to you I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, not a biologist, not an immunologist, not a virologist, I'm not a surgeon, not a nurse, not a therapist, I'm a nothing. I got no certifications to advise you on your health. I am just trying to drop breadcrumbs that you can choose to follow if you want to, if you are sick and tired of being sick and tired. You do have to do your own research, even if your doctor rolls his eyes or her eyes at you because you are taking an interest in your own health. So many conditions that Americans suffer from can be reversed and cured within people by just getting control of their diet and giving your body the raw materials it needs to function. Teresa Apel does our news breaks here, a local news break. She always tells us what day of the year it is. And today she says it's Eat Anything You Want Day or something along those lines. I think that is the longest celebration that we have in this country. It's Eat Whatever You Want Day. I believe we're embarking on probably about the third decade of eat whatever you want year. So if you want to have a good old-fashioned cheat day, I have them all the time. Nothing wrong with that. But it's a day, people. It's a day, not every day of the year. Big thing in the news right now is the shortage of baby formula. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that. It just got my mind kind of going on this topic because there's apparently parents that are just panicking. I knew nothing about natural health or nutrition when my children were first born. I had twins, and I remember heating up formula bottles for my kids as well. So I know this is an important part to a lot of parents' busy schedules, is being able to just heat something up real quick, test it on your wrist, and get that baby fed. And now people are freaking out because the store shelves are empty of baby formula. I cannot attest to this actually being the case in central Mississippi, but it still sparked my look here at baby formula. We know now that the past generation, maybe the past two generations, are growing up sicker than previous generations. I believe this is entirely on environmental factors. The only other logical conclusion is that only the really sickly among us are sexy enough to procreate, and so the sick hook up, have sick kids, and then they perpetuate the sick species. I don't believe that's the case. I think a healthy look is generally more attractive for reproductive purposes. And so there's something going on that is making these kids sicker. So why don't we take a look at baby formula since it's in the news? The Weston A. Price Foundation, as I was doing some research on this, I ran across a story they did. It's called The Scandal of Infant Formula. Modern-day infant formula is the ultimate refined food, a product of science composed of highly processed ingredients such as sugar, non-fat, dried milk, vegetable oils, and a list of synthetic nutrients. But it's convenient. Just open, mix with water, heat, and serve. And all can be done at home, much like preparing a can of condensed soup. A dubious added bonus is that with the air quotes around science, of infant formula, there's no work or worry. You don't have to think about it. One size fits all. This is, again, from Weston A. Price. It says, infant formulas may be convenient, but they have a very dark side. Even though some pediatricians think commercial formula is equivalent to breast milk, they are sorely mistaken. A simple review of the medical literature emphasizes the inadequacy of infant formula in infant nutrition. Formulas are much higher in protein than breast milk, a factor which has been significantly linked to childhood obesity. Formula is calorie dense and increases insulin levels. So baby formula, while convenient, so many of the things that we do that are convenient turn out to not be so great in the long term for us. I ran across a site. It doesn't take long to do this kind of research. I think I put this whole segment together probably in about 30 minutes, but I kind of knew what I was looking for. You have to go through a lot of different links and stuff. But this was this is a site called BabyGaga.com. Sounds like just an innocent enough blog, and I'm sure it's tailored to the moms out there. 15 things in baby formula that are toxic. And they go into some of these things. I'm going to read you some of the ingredients. I actually did a search for ingredients list of Enfamil. I can't read it because I don't speak science. I mean, there's so many ingredients in there, so many different chemicals and synthetic nutrients in there that it was kind of difficult for me to read, so I won't do that. They're going to talk here a little bit about some of the ingredients in popular baby formulas right now. Melamine. In 2008, 6 infants died after drinking melamine adulterated infant formula and milk. In total, around 300,000 infants were victims of adulterated milk, and 54,000 were hospitalized due to kidney damage. The WHO does not approve the use of melamine in food products. In America, melamine is found in formula milk, and the FDA justifies that the levels are extremely low. Melamine is rich in nitrogen and widely used in processing of plastics and adhesives, too. And they go into how melamine finds its way into the food here. Another one they cite in these baby formulas is genetically modified ingredients. Increasingly, more and more countries in the world are passing legislation against the use of GMOs, but GMO food has been associated with cancer, organ failure, and birth defects. GMO food products are used in top brands of formula, and recently one of them, Similac, started selling a non-GMO baby food in the U.S., The two main ingredients of formula, corn syrup and sugar, are often genetically modified to great extent. During the first 2 years of a baby's life, organs are still developing, and any exposure to toxins can make changes in their brain, immune system, and intestines. There is reason that the developmental problems in children these days are increasing at a frightening rate. Organic formula is a better choice for those babies who are not breastfed. Even though some companies provide organic or non-GMO food, there are other ingredients that can make the organic formula, milk formula, unsafe as well. And one thing I did notice in doing some research on this stuff, I started looking on YouTube, ton of recipes on YouTube. If you can't find baby formula, this may be the best thing that ever happened to your child. You can go on YouTube and find ways to make homemade organic baby formula with real food and nothing synthetic. Other things they've got in baby formula, artificial DHA and ARA. Almost all baby food and other food supplements for children advertise the presence of DHA and ARA in their products. These are essentially fatty acids extracted from oils. But these oils are obtained from the processes that use the neurotoxic hexane. Oils are added to the formula in an attempt to replicate the presence of these fatty acids in breast milk. However, various studies have shown that artificial DHA or ARA do not provide any nutritive value to the formula. And here's a big one, I believe. Soy formulas. Some parents feed their infants soy formula when they find their baby experiencing discomfort from the milk-based formulas. If there's a milk allergy in the family, parents tend to avoid the milk-based formula and go for soy. But the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that children allergic to cow's milk should not be fed soy formula either. The reason is that soy milk is supposed to be harmful to babies for 3 reasons. Soy formula contains phytoestrogens that are similar to the female hormone estrogen. This compound can flood the infants with these hormones that can create long-term implications like developmental problems during puberty for boys. Hello. And early adolescence for girls. This is the early puberty thing that got me started on behalf of my daughter on the natural health path in the first place. Another constituent called phytic acid that is present in the outer layer of soy seeds stops absorption of essential chemicals. Researched in 1967, it established that babies who had soy formula had a zinc deficiency. Even the organic soy is not free from all of these components and is equally harmful for the baby. I don't know if I'm going to read all these. If you are making choices about formula, or if you've got somebody that you love, your grandchild, your niece or nephew is on these formulas, at least, at the very least, you can take a look and find out if these ingredients are in there. As I said, we are now on probably the second generation of kids that are growing up sicker than their parents. It's a crime against humanity. And we have given over to convenience. Carrageenan is another ingredient that they say is in these things. It's derived from seaweed. It's used in many types of powdered or liquid products to stabilize or thicken them. It has no nutritive value whatsoever and is widely used in organic products, too. It is also used in infant formula, but has been proved in numerous animal-based studies that carrageenan is harmful, results in inflammation of the intestines, and also a cause of colon tumors. It's been banned in the European Union, but is still in the use in America, of course. Interestingly, in the past, carrageenan was used to cause inflammation of tissues in animals in order to test the new anti-inflammatory drugs. That's told by Dr. Tobikman, associate professor at the University of Illinois College of Medicine. This goes on down to the EPA, the stuff in the plastic, dioxins. It's a known cancer-causing agent, an endocrine disruptor. Again, an endocrine disruptor. What else have they got down in here? AGEs, advanced glycation end products, palm oil. There's a lot of the vegetable oils. I did see that in a lot of labels on baby formulas when I looked today. High levels of manganese and, anyone, fluoridated water. This is something I've heard a lot about baby formulas, and particularly if you're making it with your local tap water, which is fluoridated, you're giving your kids high doses of fluoride. There's lots of preservatives in these baby formulas as well. High fructose corn syrup in a lot of these things. Gee, I wonder why we've got an obesity problem. And synthetic nutrients. Formula milk is laden with synthetic nutrients to imitate breast milk. Some synthetic nutrients are also found in organic formula. Many such synthetic ingredients are neurotoxic and processed with harmful chemicals that are known carcinogens. L-carnitine is one such example, which was also banned by the National Organic Standards Board. Other common so-called nutrients are lycopene, lutein, taurine, L-methylamine, and nucleotides. Most of these chemicals are banned in the European Union. And then number one is fluoridated tap water. We've already covered that. Fluoride, I think, is another crime against humanity in this country. It's shown no efficacy for anything related to tooth stuff. Maybe some topical applications of fluoride are beneficial, but ingesting large amounts of fluoride like we do is known to reduce IQ. And I don't know if anybody's looked around lately, but it seems to be working. I'm going to come back an interesting story also. Another thing you need to look out when you got kids, and I've done a little bit of a segment on this, obesogens, but there was one interesting story about what one girl who was, I think she was five. She was becoming obese at 5 years old, and they found something that was causing it. I thought it was kind of interesting. And so you may be thinking, well, I need to get my kids healthier, maybe put them on a vegan diet. Not so fast. We're going to talk about that when we come back as well. Stick around. One of the saddest things that I see in public is obese children, particularly very young children. It's really very sad. I know parents sometimes struggle with this. What I find is one of the biggest culprits of obese children is parents who just can't put up with the protestations of their children if they take away some of the garbage food that may be making them obese. They also can't get children. They just don't want the hassle. It's just much easier to plop a kid in front of a video game for the entire summer while he's out of school than to force him to get up and get out of the house. I used to tell my kids, You know, by 10 o'clock, you need to be out of this house. You can sit on the front steps if you want to. I don't really care. Or you can trick me and you can run over to a friend's house and sit around and play video games. I knew that if they actually got outside, they would end up doing something active. But I told them, just trick me. Get out of this house and go to someone else's house and sit around. At least then they would socialize. But it's a challenge. You've got to do some parenting. But obese children are just, the deck is stacked against them socially and certainly physically. Leads to a whole bunch of continuing problems for a child if we set their metabolism at these levels and allow our children to become obese. Man, you look back at pictures of the 1960s, those kids aren't there. When I was a kid, I remember a couple of overweight kids, but not like we have today. Obesity rates are going up across the board. That's no secret. But I ran across this story for anybody who may be struggling. Some parents, you know, you may have a child and just you can't seem to get them to lose the weight. You have done the heavy lifting of trying to get them to exercise. You've got them eating better, trying to get their weight, but you just can't seem to make a dent in it. Check this story out. Many years ago, endocrinologist and medical doctor Robert Lustig had a patient. A 5-year-old girl who was suffering from obesity. Unable to determine the cause of her obesity, Lustig scanned her for tumors. The culprit was not a tumor, nor the girl's diet, exercise, or family history. Rather, it was her body wash, says Lustig, a professor emeritus at Pediatrics Division of Endocrinology at the University of California, San Francisco. A Victoria's Secret bath gel, labeled for adults only, had been the source of a chemical, phytoestrogen, in the girl's blood known to spur obesity. Phytoestrogen is found in plants and acts on the body's estrogen receptors, which induces the production of fat cells. It's one of a class of chemicals referred to as obesogens, according to a set of new reviews published in the journal Biochemical Pharmacology. That's a fascinating story. At least this poor little girl and her family found a doctor who was willing to look at everything. This is just a body wash this girl was using. And it said for adults only. How many kids are crawling into their parents' shower and using some of these things that are going into these? I did a segment a few weeks ago on obesogens. It may be listed on my podcast. I podcast the show. You can go back and look for Wednesday shows of The Mike Madison Show. It's on Podbean and Apple Podcast and a bunch of other places to determine some of these obesogens that we are being exposed to. But isn't that a hell of a thing? This poor girl is probably being on a really strict diet. They're making her exercise. She just can't lose the weight to find out it is actually the body wash. Man, constant vigilance. Constant vigilance is required. So some parents may think, well, you know, Mike's right. The modern American diet, the standard American diet, sad, is bad for us, so maybe we ought to let our kids be vegan. Now, there were a couple of clips I had on veganism in kids. You know, they're coming after the meat. Understand that the powers that be, we're being forced into some levels of austerity, and meat, particularly beef, is one of those things where they're really trying to get us. I mean, they're going to have us eating bugs soon. There may be better nutritional benefit to eating bugs than some of these baby formulas I just listed off, but they're coming after beef. So ABC News did a piece on kids and veganism or vegetarianism.
You guys, we're going to turn now to a new study on children and a vegetarian diet, looking at whether such a diet could have an adverse impact on a child's health. Our chief medical correspondent, Dr. Jennifer Ashton, is here now with the results. Good morning to you.
Good morning,
always,
sir.
Doc, in tell us about this study.
Yeah, you know, I found this interesting because there are a small but growing number of kids in this country who follow a vegan or vegetarian diet. So researchers in Toronto surveyed the parents, then did some tests on the kids and found that there was no significant difference in terms of blood tests, in terms of bone density, in terms of growth for children who followed a vegetarian or vegan diet. So good news from that standpoint. It did not appear to be harmful.
But they did find that children on a plant-based diet, they had similar growth and nutrition compared to those who ate meat.
That's right. But they did find that children who were vegan, vegetarian, more likely to be slightly underweight. You've heard me say it before, as a nutritionist and a doctor, being significantly underweight can be as bad as being significantly overweight. But as long as it doesn't impact a child's growth curve, that's really what you care about. So, you know, it's something that was significant with this finding, but not found to be or thought to be dangerous.
Okay, so ABC News, this is the same Dr. Jen Ashton that's been pumping vaccines and quarantines and lockdowns and masks on your children. She says, knock yourselves out, go out all in for a vegan diet with your kid. They've done the studies. Everything looks absolutely fantastic. You know, the one blaring question about that to me is that we know, I mean, most of us, pretty well established, that breast milk for children and really the offspring of basically every animal is very important for mammals. Do birds? No, they don't. They eat worms and stuff, don't they? Anyway, for mammals. Breast milk, nursing from the parent is the way you do it. Well, that's an animal byproduct. Breast milk is an animal byproduct. How can it possibly be the idea that our children need to stay away from animal products if they are reared on an animal product? No offense, ladies. You know what I'm saying. This was just another clip on this that points out maybe there is a problem with putting your kid on a vegan diet.
B12 is critical for a child's development, and restrictive diets may be hindering B12 levels. B12 deficiency is common in developing nations, but researchers from the University of Copenhagen say they're also cropping up in young children raised on vegan diets. They're showing signs of poor motor development. If B12 levels are too low, it can damage a child's nervous system, alter brain development, and lead to anemia. For years, health experts have focused on vitamin A, zinc, and iron deficiency. Now they say the focus is changing to B12 in an effort to avoid malnutrition and resulting permanent health challenges.
Permanent health challenges. I don't think a vegan diet is the thing to go with your children. I know there's a lot of teenage girls in particular seem to go on a vegan diet. I kind of admire the idea that maybe they don't want to be mean to animals. They don't want to kill animals. Unfortunately, that is, you know, life on planet Earth. Animals eat other animals. Those animals that you don't want to eat, many of them, they really are, they want to eat another animal. But anyway, really rethink the idea of a vegan diet for a child. I believe that they will miss out on a lot of the nutrition that they get from animal products. When I come back, there are just a couple of stories here that I ran across that really show that food should be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. We'll talk about that on the other side of this break. Stick around. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIA. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB, and it's Wednesday. We're doing Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. We do it every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. If you want show notes from today's show, you can always email me, MikeMadison@WIAB.com. I will tell you, I'm slow to get to emails. My day generally starts, I wake up between 5 and 5:30 in the morning, and I usually go to bed to sleep around midnight. That is not a good health strategy. I need to do better at that, but I am busy most of those days, about 6 days a week. That time frame is pretty well packed with stuff I do here at the station and outside of it. So have a little patience with me, but you can email me, MikeMadison@WIAB.com. I don't take phone calls on this show because I don't want ever, you know, if somebody has a testimonial that you've reclaimed your health, I'd love to have you on the show to tell us about it. I love inspirational stories. I think people benefit from them. You can email me, MikeMadison@WIAB.com, and we'll schedule a time for you to call in, but I don't take calls during the show. I did get a call during the break, though, and Rick was saying that essentially you just look at whatever nutritional advice, whatever advice they give you surrounding your health, and you do the exact opposite, and you should be really great. I mean, it is quite amazing, whether it's baby formula, statins, antidepressants. It's basically whatever they tell you to do, do the exact opposite. And this is a great time to be alive if you're in an accident and you break your body. The things they can do with surgeries now are unbelievable. If the medical establishment gets a big bow from me for anything, it is the ability to put together a broken body. This is the golden age of healing a body. It's also the golden age of delivering a premature baby. The babies they can bring into full functioning, healthy life from you know, a couple of ounces is stunning. Great medical advancements. There are benefits to our medical system here in this country. Maintaining good health, not one of them. Not at all. I've got a couple of headlines here about food and nutrition and how it can be used to target different conditions. And I was reminded of the quote, Hippocrates, the father of medicine, his biggest catchphrase was, "Let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food." Let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. Now, I got to tell you, like I say, I would really like to be living right now. If I'm in a car accident or something breaks and they got to put me back together, now is the time to be alive. When it comes to maintaining my health, I would have been better off being seen by Hippocrates in 400 BC. I think he was born 400 BC, died, I don't know, 360 BC. I mean, about 2,500 years ago, I think you would have gotten better advice on how to maintain good health. And I ran across this when I was looking up his quote here. Make sure I got it right. I ran across this one. If someone wishes for good health, one must first ask oneself if he is ready to do away with the reasons for his illness. Only then is it possible to help him. And I would imagine there's a lot of doctors out there that do try to consult their patients on living a better lifestyle when it comes to obesity and diabetes and all kinds of different conditions, cancers. Most people just won't do it. We're lazy people now. If someone wishes for good health, one must first ask themselves if he is ready to do away with the reasons for his illness. Only then is it possible to help him. That's Hippocrates. Food is medicine. And medicine can be your food. This was interesting about chili peppers.
Well, it's always good to get some good news on the cancer front. Red Hot Chili Peppers could be the secret ingredient for beating all forms of cancer. Not the band, the pepper. This in a report at Study Finds. Nothing like a good chili pepper to give a meal that spicy kick. But now a new study looks into the best way to use this ingredient as a treatment for cancer. Researchers at Marshall University say capsaicin, that's the substance which gives chili peppers their hot and spicy taste, can also keep multiple forms of cancer from growing. The biggest hurdle scientists have to overcome, however, is finding the best way of delivering capsaicin to patients.
But the translation of that is, the biggest challenge for researchers is finding a way to patent this food, this extract from food. They need to somehow patent it and put it into a pill and charge you $80 a pill for it instead of just letting you go down to the farmer's market and buy some organic peppers.
I'm going to guess eating it is not the best idea unless you install a TV in the bathroom. Researchers say their report is the first to examine sustained-release formulations of capsaicin as an anti-cancer drug. These delivery methods include solid dispersion systems, liposomes, phospholipid complexes, and nanoparticles. As far as the results, the team found that capsaicin displayed an ability to significantly stifle the growth of a wide range of human cancers. Previous studies have also found that the chili pepper compound could serve as a key weapon in the fight against lung cancer. The team said giving patients capsaicin in more traditional ways, like pills, has a number of factors working against it, including the obvious bathroom issues. Along with showing a poor ability to absorb into the human body, a capsaicin pill is literally too hot for some patients to handle. Professor of Biomedical Sciences Monica Valentovic, PhD, said, quote, "A strategy to overcome these drawbacks is the development of different delivery systems, such as encapsulating capsaicin in long-acting sustained-release drug delivery systems could allow for more constant capsaicin levels that could be more efficient as anti-cancer agents."
And, you know, the sad thing is we probably have the technology to take these compounds from food that have benefits and put them into a convenient form that actually works. It would probably be just pennies to actually treat people with these things. The problem is that what the pharmaceutical companies need to do, they're responsible to shareholders, not to the public. Always remember that. These are big corporations. Their first responsibility, they actually have a legal fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders. Putting out a free or cheap product to and leaving profits on the table is actually probably a dereliction of their duty, but it doesn't mean you need to participate in it. So that's chili peppers. I actually have another video here. It's foods to stop cancer. I don't know if I've got time to play this, but you'd have it on my show notes if you want to email me for that. But the bottom line is You can do all kinds of research on this foods if you've got a cancer diagnosis, if you're scared of cancer, if you've got a family history of cancer. There's all kinds of foods. Again, Hippocrates said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. You can affect outcomes with the nutrition that you have. There was another article on study finds cases of cognitive decline more than doubles in older adults over the past decade. Everyone forgets where they left their keys every once in a while, but research suggests forgetting things will just be the beginning of problems for many people. New research from England finds the number of cases of cognitive decline more than doubled in 10 years, increasing the likelihood of dementia. Let's get down into the way they did the studies. There's been a drive in the past, this is a quote, there has been a drive in the past decade to encourage people to seek help earlier from the doctors if they're worried about their memory, and we found that among those over 80, women and people living in more deprived areas were more likely to have a record of memory concern or cognitive decline, and their symptoms more likely to progress to dementia diagnosis. And they go in to say this is not a genetic thing. They believe that these are probably environmental issues. I bring up that, obviously, we know, we've seen in our own lives the problems with particularly getting older. And what a lot of doctors are seeing is people with like early onset dementia. This is something that I've just been seeing for the last 10 years. Doctors are just shocked at their patients that are coming in earlier and earlier with mental health problems in terms of memory. So I ran across this story, too. Brain food for thought. These three antioxidants can shield you from dementia. And this is a story. Could a serving of oranges and spinach each day be the perfect recipe for a healthy brain? Thanks to certain antioxidants, perhaps so. Antioxidants help keep your cells healthy. Now new research finds antioxidants may also help protect against dementia. Scientists report people with higher antioxidant levels may be less likely to ever develop a form of dementia. More specifically, study participants with the highest recorded levels of these antioxidants, lutein, zeaxanthin, and beta-cryptoxanthin, present in their blood, were much less likely to develop dementia decades later than others with much lower levels of these antioxidants. Wondering where to get some of these antioxidants for yourself? Lutein and zeaxanthin are both in leafy green vegetables such as kale, spinach, broccoli, and peas. Meanwhile, beta-cryptoxanthin is present in fruits like tangerines, oranges, papayas, and persimmons. Extending people's cognitive functioning is an important public health challenge, says the study's author. And of course, my point in bringing this to you is we see on one hand the increase in cognitive decline and mental cognition issues. We've seen this problems double over the course of just the last decade. And the answer is they're doing research to find that things in these foods can actually help you do this. I don't know how many Americans sit around thinking, my mom had Alzheimer's, my father had dementia, I'm going to have Alzheimer's, I'm going to have dementia. We believe in our learned helplessness that the medical establishment has given us, that your family history makes your medical future a fate. And I am here to tell you, there's an awful lot of people out there right now bucking that trend by using good nutrition. When I come back, I want to get to this piece by our buddy Dr. Eric Berg talking about how to stop carb cravings. And if I have time, he did a short little piece on nutritional yeast. This is something I need to add to my diet. It's very interesting, something that's not talked about a whole lot, but it's just packed as a superfood with all kinds of beneficial stuff. We'll do that when we come back. Stick around. Citizens from all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling. I am not going to have time in my final segment here to get to both of these clips, but I'm going to play something here about killing carb cravings. This is something a lot of people have problems with. It's probably one of the biggest health challenges most people face, and that is controlling particularly refined processed carbs that are not good for our waistlines or our health in general. I'll tell you one place where you can get some good quality food. I am so thrilled to have them on as a sponsor of the show, and that is Stonington Farms. Stonningtonfarm.com. This is 100% grass-fed beef. No antibiotics, no hormones. This is a healthier meat. You also buy it from them because they are farmers and they ship in bulk. You can get together with your neighbors, or if you got a freezer, get ready to have some of the best beef you've had for a long, long time. Stonington Farms does grass-fed beef, no hormones, no antibiotics. They raise these on a 430-acre farm down there in South Mississippi, and they're trying to get up here in the Jackson market. I've already had listeners who have contacted me and said that they have bought beef from Stonington Farm. It is cheaper when you buy in bulk. Number one, inflation is an issue, but number two, and particularly for this hour every week, it's about your health. And I'll have to do a show. I'll bring Dr. Stonington on. He's the one that he's got the farm. We'll talk about the standard processing for just these giant cattle operations, these CAFOs, where they raise your meat and then they cover it with chemicals to package it and ship it. And there's just all kinds of problems with the standard meat we eat. So get a better quality from a local farmer here. Buy in bulk. Go to stonningtonfarm.com, stonningtonfarm.com. You can read all about them and see what they've got. I highly, highly, highly recommend these people. And I've had the beef. It's fantastic. All right. Carb cravings. Let's see if we can get through this clip. This is an important one for a whole lot of people.
Now, I know this might be hard to believe, but certain people, once they start carbs, they cannot stop. So recently I had a person who reached out and wanted some help because they were slightly addicted to carbs. They wanted to start keto, but they have this addiction. How do they go about it? So I decided to create a video for this person. All right. We've been trained since birth to consume sugar. Okay. It's in baby food. It's in all of our foods. And, you know, go trick or treating and you get all this candy and every holiday and cookies, et cetera, et cetera. And what happens inside our body every time we do this is we start to develop, an addiction. And that involves two neurotransmitters. One is dopamine, which is involved with pleasure sensation. And then we have serotonin, which is involved with the happiness sensation. Now, I used to have an addiction. I mean, a periodic craving for Ben & Jerry's ice cream. I got caught up in this eating a pint every night before I went to bed type situation over, I would say, a year. I would be obsessed about it. I would be thinking about it all day long. And eventually, if I didn't consume it, I had this pressure or stress build up that may be physically uncomfortable. But as soon as I started consuming this delicious ice cream, I felt satisfied, happy. I felt like I was surviving. I could finally breathe again for about a minute. Now, of course, this was artificially making me satisfied, happy, and feeling like I was surviving when I actually was feeling very miserable the rest of the day and not really surviving health-wise. So what you have to realize is that every time you give in to this craving, you're going to get more cravings over time. It's going to happen. It's going to become stronger and stronger over time. And it's very interesting to me that your body can get into a state physically where it demands this sugar. This addiction is real, and it will literally control you to a point where you're completely out of control. So what can you do at this point? Number one, you need to stop eating completely. You need to start fasting immediately, because what's going to happen, instead of eating food, you're going to eat no food and your body is going to have to switch over. There's going to be a little uncomfortable transition period, but it won't be too bad, where your body will start to switch to ketosis. And then when you start burning fat for fuel, your brain actually starts to heal and reset, because the receptors for these neurotransmitters are so messed up, they need to be reset. The absolute best way to do it is simply start fasting. I would recommend minimally 24 hours to 48 hours. And if you can actually do exercise, light exercise, walking, that would be even better, because you can burn off that sugar that you just consumed. So just get it out of the system, get your body into ketosis, and then your brain will feel better. The interesting thing about the brain is that if given the choice, the brain will prefer ketones over sugar any day. It's very therapeutic. And as soon as that happens, you start to shift to be more in control over this addiction. All right. Number three, you have to be very careful to avoid the triggers. Get all the junk food out of the house, including those chips that you have up in the cupboard that you've been hiding. Make it difficult for you to get this junk food, especially late at night when you're kind of bored. So many people at night, they're not even hungry. They're just going to the cupboards looking for something. They don't even know what they're looking for, but maybe something salty and crunchy, maybe something sweet. But you need to get the junk out of your house. Very important. When you're fasting, don't read cookbooks, okay, especially for desserts. You want to avoid any type of trigger, including pictures of recipes or desserts, because dopamine is all about anticipating pleasure. As soon as you eat this food, you don't continue to increase dopamine. Dopamine is kind of a precursor to actual eating it. So as soon as you look at a picture or smell food, you instantly start increasing the dopamine, and that is going to create a controlling factor over your body. Let's say, for example, you're driving your bike down your neighborhood and it's dinner time and you can smell spaghetti cooking in the from someone's house. That would be bad. Don't do that. So smells are very powerful. Kentucky Fried Chicken, they pump out all these different smells so they can lure you into that facility. Avoid any and all environments that can tempt you. And lastly, B vitamins are crucial. Vitamin B1 will completely handle this right here.
He's talking about stress.
So use that through nutritional yeast to help curb your addictions. I'm sorry, your cravings.
And, you know, if I can just say one other thing there, you know, we judge a lot of people for their addictions. Matter of fact, we put a lot of people in cages around the country for their addictions. We look down on them because they're alcoholics or they've gotten addicted to pain medications or to other drugs. And we rarely ever want to admit the fact that we all have these same addictions. You know, getting off of sugar and getting off of carbs, not always easy. I think the fasting is a great idea because it's kind of like a clean break and it does kind of reset you. You can always slip and fall, but fasting, it's not going to hurt you. It's better to prepare for a fast, even a 24-hour fast, than just to jump into it. You will feel bad for a little while, but it does help you reset. But we're very judgy on people with addictions, gambling addictions, any of these other addictions. It's all involving this dopamine hit. And maybe we should kind of be a little more circumspect, lest any of us do not have any addictions to anything at any time ever. Maybe you can sit in judgment for the rest of us. Maybe we just need to deal with our own addictions. Next week, I'll get to that nutritional yeast clip. It's pretty interesting. That's all the time I got for today. Appreciate you joining me. I will talk to you all tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.